Vectis Radio, your local stories, your local music, and local shows, now on DAB.
Bill, first question is, what does a facilities manager for Ventnor Cricket Club do?
Well, if you've ever been down to Steephill, Sue, and thank you for inviting me on, facilities there means quite a lot. You know, we have the ground, obviously, but we have a huge building that was built about 20 years ago with our own indoor sports hall, cricket net facilities, bar, club room, conference room. It's a huge setup, so it's like running something on a pretty much commercial scale.
And Ventnor Cricket Club's quite successful, isn't it? Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I'm at the risk of annoying people who belong to other clubs on the island. Ventnor's probably been the most successful over the last 20, 30 years. It's at the top, first 11 play in the Southern Premier League. They're the only island cricket club that does.
Right, and so it's successful, but also very inclusive now as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that really is, for me, probably the big focus. The performance on the field is great, but getting people involved is even more important. So, you know, the ladies and girls section has grown significantly in the last few years. But at the same time, we've also incorporated as a disabled group now. And the latest thing is we have walking cricket for the over 50s. Just like walking football, if you've ever encountered that. Walking cricket.
How does that work then, Bill?
Well, you should see our walking cricket group. Kindly supported by the Isle of Wight Cricket Board, because there's a big thrust on getting, you know, over 50s active. Mm. So they're all out there in the sports hall. But the rule is you cannot run. Indeed, it's penalty runs to the other side if you do run.
I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, and so it works. It equalises the whole thing too, because you've got 80-year-olds alongside 50-year-olds.
I think as well what that highlights, tell me if I'm wrong, that Ventnor Cricket Club, it isn't just for a seasoned cricketer. You very clearly highlighted how it's a very inclusive club, clearly, by the sounds of things.
Absolutely so, Billy. It's you couldn't survive like that at the scale. The thing is to bring people in all the time. And it's most obvious with the junior section, which is, of course, large, but it's looking constantly for different ways to engage people. I'd love nothing more than to see that walking cricket section double, treble in size. We've just been approached by the first mainland club with a walking cricket section who want to come over and play us next year, which is, you know, it's kind of fab that sort of thing is happening.
It was
great.
So it can only get bigger and better from
That's
here.
Definitely the idea, yeah. And they're all very competitive, I can tell you. Pop your head round that sports hall door on a Tuesday morning. But it's quite nice at the end. They get tea and cake when they finish.
That's always a nice added bonus, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Sue, but that just makes your day a little bit better, doesn't it? With a bit of tea and coffee and some cake.
Yeah, and tea and cake's a very sort of cricket thing, isn't it, really, when you think about it? But obviously people will be wanting to know how they can get involved. So do you have to live in Ventnor?
No, genuinely not, Sue. Our membership comes from all over the island. Of course, it's a little bit more concentrated in Ventnor and the surrounding villages, but genuinely people come from all over the island and we hugely welcome that.
And do you have to be over 50 to be involved in walking cricket?
Yes, you do, for walking cricket.
Yeah, I thought you did, because it's a little bit like the walking football in that way, isn't it?
Absolutely. But as I say, it's 50 and anything above, so we've got 50-year-olds playing with 80-year-olds, which is great.
And thinking specifically about the work that the club does with juniors, and we'll talk about the other sort of sections of the population, including the men, of course, as well. But thinking about the juniors first, what exactly does the club do with them?
Well, the formal on the field, you know, we start playing with under 9s, 11s, up to 15s. And so there's regular coaching and we have organised teams at all levels. And so during the summer months, if you pop down to Steephill, you'd probably find one of the junior teams playing most evenings at the club, or they're away playing a match. But it's about much more than just the intensity of coaching. It's about creating a fun social environment so that they and their parents, you know, really feel they're part of a community. That's what we're always trying to do.
And it is of both male and female.
Absolutely. Yes, we've, you know, seen a great growth in the willingness of girls and ladies to participate, you know, and that's been going on for several years. That section is very, very well stabilised now.
There's a real clear connection as well. We were talking about this off-air, Bill, about the Ventnor Cricket Club and its deep roots within the community.
Yeah.
It's a very, very mature cricket club indeed. It's got its roots firmly embedded into Ventnor, hasn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we've actually been around, I can't resist this one, we've been around 175 years, celebrated that anniversary last year. And the club's been at Steep Hill since way back when.
And I think there's a lot of people, isn't there? Myself included, when I was a young child, I've got fond memories going through, I believe it is the Botanical Gardens, if my memory serves me right, the cricketers playing on a summer's afternoon with my dad walking. And I'm sure, just given what you've said, 175 years of history, a lot of other people are going to have those memories, aren't they?
Absolutely. And it comes back all the time. You know, we had a special game last weekend for our President's Day, and we had players coming back from over a 30-year period to participate in that, and it's wonderful to see, you know, there's that sustained connection.
Well, that's it, and like any, and I want to talk to you a bit more about this and the historical roots in the next conversation that we have after we've played our song, because it does go back to, I think, what you're saying and what you've discussed with us off air. The future of any club is as much in the vitality of the current members as it is in the ones that you want coming in and continuing to grow, and the ones that have been there for 30 years. So I think it's fabulous that you're clearly continuing to grow, and we need more things like this in the community. So we were talking earlier on about the generational, the multi-generational aspect of Ventnor Cricket Club, and moreover, the history. It's very rich. So just tell me, if it's not too much of a difficult question, what would you say personally stands out to you in terms of a highlight of the members that you've seen come through, or even coming through now as we speak?
Well, you do indeed have multi-generations. You've got, you know, four generations of one family in membership. You've got people whose memories of the club stretch back to, you know, even the 50s, which is fabulous to have. And we've got some great names around the club. You know, there was a legendary chairman, sadly deceased a dozen years ago, John Hilsom, who was responsible for the club's rise and the building of the facilities we have. And you've got some famous players too. You know, a half a dozen Ventnor players over the recent decades have gone on to play first class cricket at county level, and indeed in a couple of cases at international level. So that, you know, we're immensely proud of those people.
But even as successes are going on, you must see, we were talking about juniors just before the break, just how some of the cricket helps to bring them on and their confidence and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the whole thing with sport is actually about, if you, well, never mind whether it's cricket or any other sport, the idea is to get young people into a social group where, you know, they can build those social skills and enjoy themselves and build confidence that they can do and achieve something, not just on their own, but as a team. You know, most sports, team sports, and that's a critical form of bonding, really. It's lovely to see when it works. And you see it in the senior teams, where very often people have played together in different age groups, you know, for 20, 30 years, and those relationships are fantastic.
You were saying that the women's game has also come on a lot recently. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I love it, because it's if you follow cricket at the top level, you'll see that, you know, the women's England level and indeed county level are getting a lot more attention. There's a lot more money going into the game. It's all well supported. But at the club level, it's just such fun to see that build up. And what I enjoy most about the ladies' team at Ventnor is every game they play, they seem to have a really good time playing, you know. We have such a wonderfully mixed group. I mean, how many clubs have a French lady wicketkeeper? I mean, you know, it's just fantastic to watch.
And do you play in all sorts of formats in the various groups? Because now, obviously, 2020 matches are more popular, as well as the one day matches and test matches and the hundreds and so on.
At club level, our kind of standard format is the one day format. So, you know, 45, 50 overs a side. But increasingly, particularly in the junior groups, of course, the 2020 is becoming a default version. And people see that all the time. That's the one they're most likely to encounter if they're taken out for an evening. And so that whole thought process that goes into T20 is most common, yeah.
And the disabled people that play, how do you bring them in? And is it a mixed disabled group?
It is a mixed disabled group, and that's mixed by disability as much as anything. Again, it's supported by our friends at the Isle of Wight Cricket Board, and you need specialist coaches for that, because there's a whole discipline goes on around it to make sure that everybody who's involved is safe and happy and getting something out of it. They're very different levels of disability. So, but, you know, disability cricket has become its own thing. So there are now county matches between the best disabled for each county. And honestly, watching, as I did last year, a game between Hampshire and Surrey, you'd be amazed at the standard. It's really good, and it's fantastic to see that that has come on so much.
Yeah, and again, really, really useful work that you're doing there, and other cricket clubs in the community as well.
Absolutely. It's all clubs in the community over here have some kind of programs of, the techie word is outreach, but you know, getting involved, getting people in. And pretty much, in my view, every time you bring somebody new into the club, that's a result.
But on Vectors Radio, we don't shy away from the very difficult questions. I mean, News at 10 has nothing on us. So tell us, does Ventnor, when it does one, does it do a good cricket tea?
There you touch on a really vital part of the narrative, so thank you. And cricket teas, unfortunately, are not as widespread as they once were, but our first 11 still have cricket teas. So if you were to show up on a Saturday afternoon when the first throw at home, yes, you could have a proper cricket tea.
And in your opinion, what does a good cricket tea have to include?
Well, a good cricket tea definitely needs a variety of sandwiches, but it also ends with a great variety of cakes. I can tell you that I was there yesterday and I snuck in for the back end of the tea leftovers. There were 5 varieties of cake, very important. Mostly homemade.
Homemade definitely is good.
And in between whiles, of course, there's, you know, various pies and quiches and things like that. But it's the sandwiches and the cakes that make it. And a cup of tea. Mustn't forget a proper cup of tea.
Yeah, I think when he was asked this question, Jonathan Agnew, who commentates on the cricket, said that it had to include a cheese and pickle sandwich specifically.
I wouldn't disagree with that, I guess. I think a cheese and pickle sandwich is very much up there.
Brilliant. That's a very us sort of question, isn't it, Billy?
It is. You can tell I'm dying to get in and ask a question relating to the food. Was Battenberg at all on offer there?
No Battenberg yesterday, Billy. I'm terribly sorry. Fruitcake, Victoria sponge. I think there was something chocolatey, you know. But you've, no Battenberg, mate. Sorry.
You've won me over with the fruitcake.
Okay.
I do like a bit of fruitcake.
Bill, we've talked about how various sections of society can play for the club, but also you have a lot of volunteers, don't you? But you're looking for more.
We do. The lifeblood of the club is in the volunteers. So it genuinely is. Everybody would say that, wouldn't they? But it's so crucial. You know, keeping the show on the road at Ventnor costs us a huge amount of money every year. You know, we're into 6 figures now just to keep it going every year. And having the volunteers taking on so many jobs around the club is the only way we can manage as we do. And I think all sports, all clubs would say that volunteering is always a challenge. We absolutely welcome anybody who wants to participate. It's a great social thing to do. You only need to commit to doing a small amount of time. You can be involved with your kid or your grandkids team, or you can be involved in some aspect of the club's social and commercial side. There's so many different things you can become a part of, but we just love having people on board. And those who do volunteer tend to get, you know, very much into the scene at the club and how it works.
And are there any particular positions, or is there anything in particular that you're looking for people to volunteer to do at the moment? Or is it such a big range?
We're on media And I actually would love anybody with digital social media type experience who would be keen to get involved and do some of that stuff. Simply maintaining a website is a volunteer job in itself, and at the moment it's split up. There's a lot of those kind of things. The other great thing we welcome is people who could get on board and organise an event. It might only be a quiz evening, but somebody wanting to do that would be incredibly welcome.
Raise more funds for the
exactly
club.
yeah we need that throughout the year.
And obviously you're looking for new members all of the time.
Absolutely.
Whether they're male, female, junior or disabled.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
How do people find you?
There is of course a website, and you can do the whole thing online if that's what you want to do. This is the island. Many people like just to rock up, but rocking up most Saturdays, Sundays, a lot of weekday evenings at the moment from here to the end of September, because we don't finish till the end of September. Very easily find us, talk to somebody if that's what you prefer to do. We're out there, of course, on social media, on Facebook and on Insta and those kinds of things.
And if people don't know physically where they might find you on a Saturday, where's your base?
I guess most of the island knows the Botanic Gardens in Ventnor at the western end of town, and we are immediately adjacent to the Botanic Gardens. We share a car park, really. Turn right to the Botanic Gardens through the main gate, turn left to us.
And listen out for the gentle sound of...
Bat on ball.
Exactly, yeah.
Willow on leather.
That's it, yeah. It's a good, it's a typical summer sound, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I always think it's a
very dreamy
sound. It's
dreamy. The only sport you can turn up with three or four mates and do a passable impression of Last of the Summer Wine.